Today, we take a look at the Dallas Mavericks, their 2019-20 season in review. What to expect from this team, what we saw from last season, what that could mean for the future. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
Hello there.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. As I said, we're looking at the Dallas Mavericks today in their season review. The next show, which will be Monday, will be the Philadelphia 76ers. So keep an eye out on the Instagram story and on Twitter for you to ask your questions about the Sixers. So check that one out. Today, we're looking at Dallas, and we're going to start off, as we do in all of these shows, by answering questions. We'll kick it off with the old Instagram. Carl Svavar 15, can Kristaps Porzingis be better next season? I really expect him to be better because this was his first season back from the ACL. He was easing his way back in. He still averaged 20 and 10 with 2.5 threes and 2 blocks. Like, it's pretty bloody good. The efficiency wasn't quite there at times. He struggled early on trying to work out how to fit with Luka Doncic. But in the regular season bubble, he was the fourth ranked player. He averaged 30 and 10. He fit in seamlessly with Luka Doncic. And he really showed that when those two are rolling, like, they can both put up big numbers together. They both averaged in those regular season games 30 points per game. Now, you don't expect that to happen next year, but he can be much better than what we saw for the bulk of the season. So yes, Kristaps Porzingis will be better next season. Lots of questions about KP with his knee injury. I expect he'll be right for next season. I expect that they will limit him in some games and some back-to-backs. It won't be every single back-to-back. It wasn't every single back-to-back this season, but he did have some knee problems. He's going to miss games. That's pretty much a guarantee. So that does make him somewhat risky. But I think on a per-game basis, there's a real shot at the top 20 for Porzingis. But he's probably going to be more of a third-round player. And that, you know, whether you take the risk on him depends what... Did you take the risk on Kyrie earlier on? Or did you get more of a rock-solid type player earlier? Look, that's going to depend on whether you take that flyer in the third or you'd rather him fall to the fourth or fifth. Or you just scrap him completely. Because that's, you know, completely fair enough to consider those things with Porzingis. This question's all over the shop. Lots of people asking is what I meant. W. Schumann Klein, will Luka Doncic be the best fantasy player this year, next year? This is asked a lot. You know, I'm going to take Luka number one. And in a points league, I can see the rationale. Even with how he played in the bubble, he was still only the sixth-ranked bubble player. Because you still have to consider the lack of steals and then at times the lack of efficiency. In the 7 regular season games, he did shoot 80% from the line and 48% from the field. He averaged 30, 10, and 10. These are great numbers. 2 threes, but only 0.4 steals. That's a worry. In the playoffs, 66% from the line on 11 attempts, and he was the 14th ranked player in the playoffs. Over the course of the year, Doncic was the 11th ranked player, averaging 29, 9, and 9 with a steal and 76 from the line. So he's been really, really good. Can he be the number one player? I don't think I would. In a points league, it's maybe a discussion. In a category league, I don't think he's quite there. But he's going to push up further than what he was. And he should be in that top 5 to top 6 mix. I'm not sure he's quite at that number one spot yet with the potential deficiencies in steals. Definitely in blocks, maybe field goal percentage, and maybe free throw percentage. So that'll probably push him down a little bit in that area. Let's have a look. What other question do we have? Is Doncic a top 3 fantasy pick? Yeah, look, again, probably not, but he's still probably going to have Davis there. You're probably going to have Harden. You'll have Towns in the mix. Where does Curry fit in? So I don't think he's quite there at that point, but he shouldn't be too far away from it. Samuel Gabriel says, nah, you never answer. Yeah, you're right. Never answer questions from people on Instagram or Twitter. Kojo, man, will Dwight Powell be a top 100 guy next year? No. Will Dwight Powell even play next year? I really doubt it. He tore his Achilles tendon. We know this is an injury that can take, well, sometimes they're back in 11 months, sometimes it's 12 to 14 months, depending, but no, he won't be. Look, he wasn't a top 100 player this year, and he was healthy. He was the 173rd ranked player. He tore his Achilles, let's just get the date here, on the 21st of January. So it might be 12 months from when the season begins. So I think he'll be back. But with Porzingis playing at the five being more successful, and they won't be fully extending Powell, I don't believe, when he's back out there. When he's rolling, look, he absolutely can be a top 100 player on the basis that he gets some nice steals, some nice blocks, he's hyper-efficient, he rebounds the ball okay, and he scores decently. Like, they're okay numbers to be a top 100 player, but I wouldn't be banking on it for this upcoming season for Dwight Powell. Randall time. Hassan Whiteside, will he come to the Mavs? I think there's a possibility in that. I can see him actually working okay with Porzingis. I still believe Porzingis at center is the configuration of your lineups that is the best for your team, and they should be trying that more often. But I could see, I know that the Mavs have been interested in Whiteside in the past, I could see them bring him in, playing him 25 minutes a night, not the full 33 or anything like that. And I think that could work out okay for them. Be interesting to see how, if they do go that route, but that is a move, if he's willing to accept less money, that they could pull off. Os 10, is Luka the best player under 25? I think so. Look, I don't have all the everyone's ages in front of me, but yeah, I'd happily say that at this stage. Maybe there's someone I'm missing. Maybe you could throw Jason Tatum into that mix. I wouldn't. I would put Luka Doncic ahead of him. All right, is Luka top three in points leagues from Mateo Rib? Yeah, look, I'm not a massive points league guy most of the time, but I think he has to be in that top three discussion. I think I had him projected at like number seven last year in points leagues, and he's going to go up from there almost no doubt. And you can have a look at, in your particular points league, of how it was scored, where he ended up this season, and then tack a couple extra ranking spots on top of that, and I think you'll be on the money. If you want to be on the money in terms of getting yourself that great energy boost to help you get through the day without feeling completely unhealthy, Built Go is the answer. You got a wall, it's 3 o'clock. You go, man, I can't be bothered with this last meeting. Like, I can't get through it. I'm really struggling. Built Go is that healthy replacement for an energy drink. The energy is not fake, it's lasting, and it is natural. Built Go are gels, 1.5-ounce packages. Stick them in your briefcase, stick them in your bag, whatever it is, they can be handy, ready to go, in your fanny pack, if that's the way you like to roll. And then when you need that hit of energy to help you get that extra energy to finish off the day, Built Go is there for you. It's like 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling, and it's natural and better for the body. Three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate go. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, and the collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast and it's easy on the stomach. There's also beta-alanine, B3, honey, caffeine, B6, and B12. The collagen promoting joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. The stuff will literally make you not only feel better, but also look better. So if you go to builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 30% off your next order. The promo code is LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. All right, questions on the old Twitter. All right, let's just go straight into Matt Lawson's one. Mavs Dynasty ADP, is Luka Doncic at number one? Absolutely, he is the number one Dynasty player you should be drafting. There's no doubt about that in my mind. If he doesn't go one in a startup Dynasty draft, your startup Dynasty draft is doing it wrong. He is the number one player there. Kristaps Porzingis at 23.6.
Porzingis.
Per game basis, sure, he'll smash that. The injury risk probably means I might sell that somewhat. Timmy Hardaway at 155. Hardaway was a real surprise this season. There's no doubt about that. He was the 147th ranked player. But the dude is turning 29. I wouldn't want to spend pick 155 on him. Muxi Kleber at 176. I thought Kleber was pretty good this year, but also he's 29 years of age. And I'm not sure, you know, how much more upside Kleber's got. 177's okay. I probably would buy that. Dorian Finney-Smith at 214, really good strong season from Finney-Smith this year. They really like what he can do. He was 167th ranked fantasy player for the year. He doesn't really do anything particularly well from a fantasy point of view, and I don't ever think he will be, but that looks okay. Seth Curry at 225. Seth has just turned 30. We know he's a good value for three-pointers. At 230, I'd probably take him there. D'Lon Wright at 226, yes, I would buy that. Now, D'Lon Wright had an absolute stinker of a season, and he was still the 176th ranked player. I think there's a real chance that they trade him away, and if he finds a role that's a better fit for him, then he can be back in the top 120. I would buy that for D'Lon Wright. Jalen Brunson at 236, I would also buy that. I think Brunson's going to be a really, really strong player in the NBA for plenty of years to come. Cauley Stein at 238. Look, I don't think he's that good, but he was 152nd ranked player this year, mainly because of his time in the Warriors, because he didn't do anything as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. But at 238, I'd take it. Dwight Powell at 256, I would take that as well. And then Trey Burke at 287, who was an absolute revelation in the bubble. Burke was the 99th ranked player in the regular season there. I'd probably take a flyer on him at 287 as well. I would buy that. Let's see. Nick Barth. Would CJ McCollum be the perfect fit for this team? Yeah, I can see it because he can be a shooter like Seth Curry, which works pretty well next to Luka Doncic. He can do a little bit of ball handling on the second unit. Acquiring him, I don't know how you do that, but he would be an upgrade over Tim Hardaway Jr. The problem is Hardaway is a significantly better defender. He's not a good defender, but he's a significantly better defender than CJ McCollum in my mind. But I do think McCollum would be a pretty strong option there. Would Dallas consider a sign and trade for Victor Oladipo? Well, no, because they don't need to sign and trade him. He says, would they sign Tim Hardaway and trade him and another player for Oladipo? Well, Tim Hardaway is not a free agent. He's got a $19 million player option, which I imagine he's picking up. So there's no sign and trade needed. Victor Oladipo is never going to be back to his all-NBA level. I'm pretty confident of that. I also know that he's a better player than Tim Hardaway. Can he accept a role where he's a third option? I think he had struggles with that in Indiana, because if he came to Dallas, he'd absolutely be a third option. But if he focused more on his defense, I think it could work out for him. Tim Hardaway's not enough to get back for Victor Oladipo. He's nowhere near enough. Dallas don't have a huge amount of young talent to bring back, but maybe it's D'Lon Wright that goes back in that deal. And then some future draft picks, although they do have a couple that are going towards the Knicks. I could see that. I think Dallas should be really interested in it, but I think that Indiana will have better offers for Oladipo out there. Liquor Connoisseur, good name. Could they be the best team in the West when healthy? Next year, no. 2 years' time, probably. Yeah, there's a real chance of that, depending on what they do in terms of trading and free agency, but not next year. Would you consider trying to move Dwight Powell's contract to clear up cap space? Sure. I just don't know who's taking him on for $12 million a year for the next couple of years, considering he's coming off an Achilles injury and he is relatively limited. So, I'd try to. Would I dump other assets to do it? I'd consider it, to be honest. But the free agency class isn't great this year, so maybe that's not as much of a necessity at this point. Let's have a look. Is there any hope for D'Lon Wright's upside? Yeah, look, I still do believe in D'Lon Wright. It was a terrible fit for him. Now, he is 28 at the moment. This was a really, really poor fit for D'Lon in Dallas. I thought it'd be a great fit. All the Mavericks people I talked to, yep, just stick him next to Luka. He's going to play defense. He'll play 29 minutes a night. Didn't expect anything like this out of Tim Hardaway, but the fit with Doncic did not work at all for D'Lon Wright. I still believe it's got to happen really soon because he's 28, but I do still believe he can be a 26-minute-a-night player who's a top 100 guy or borderline top 100 player, plays really good defense, can distribute the ball. Flashes of shooting over the years he's shown. I still have some hope, but if he's not moved this year, I reckon that hope is going to disappear relatively quickly, would be my guess. Good bunch of questions there. A lot of duplicate stuff about Porzingis' injury and where do you draft Luka next season. Let's talk about these players in that little bit more detail. The first player we touch on here is, of course, Luka Doncic, because he was amazing. And he is going to be, I would guess, and I think I'm guessing pretty accurately, he is going to be an MVP in this league. He may be able to get to be the number one player in fantasy at some point. It's going to come down to what he does with those free throws. But the fact that he gets such a large volume of free throw attempts is already a massive positive, because that if the free throws start becoming good, then he will be able to put up good numbers. He averaged good numbers. He's already getting good numbers. 29, 9, and 9, a steal, 3 threes, 46 and 76 with a true shooting of 59%. His PIPM was a monster 4.41 and his Raptor was 6.3. Absolute huge numbers. And the scary thing is with Luka Doncic, he's going to get better. He is probably going to be able to get to PIPM years of almost 6. He's going to be the number one player in the NBA pretty shortly. For reference, Giannis' PIPM this year was 9. Like an absolute ridiculous number. And then Kawhi, Harden, and LeBron were all at 6. And Doncic was 9th on that list. Actually, the leaders in PIPM, it's Giannis, Kawhi, Harden, LeBron, Gobert, Davis, Paul, Tatum, Doncic. That's your top, and Middleton is 10th. That's your top 10 in PIPM. Yeah, Luka can really jump up that list. He'll take over Kawhi, Harden, LeBron, Gobert, Paul really quickly, and it'll be probably him and Giannis and Tatum towards the top of that list. Really, really big numbers. He's the number one player, I think, in dynasty leagues, no problem. As I said, in the bubble, in the regular season bubble games, 36 minutes, 30, 10, and 10, two threes, half a steal, 48 and 80 for a true shooting of 60%, hitting only 30% of his threes. But it's always something. Is it his three-point percentage that's off? Is it his free throw percentage that's off? You become a consistent 80% free throw guy, a 38% three-point shooter with his really strong finishing numbers. His best case scenario is 30, 10, and 10, like averaging a triple-double, 2.8 threes, a steal, and then 50, 80, 38. And that is probably your number three, number two, maybe number one player. But getting all of that together, getting your good free throw shooting to go with your good three-point shooting to go with an improvement in steals, like in the playoffs, in the bubble, 31, 10, and 9, that's great. And he got the steals up to 1.2. He shot only 66% from the line, so that dropped him right back, but 50% from the field, 36% from three. So he got three things up, and one of them fell off. And that one that fell off was a massive negative. Pretty sure he's going to be a top five pick, and I'm okay with that. I just don't think he's in that top one, top three discussion just yet, unless, as I said, you're in points leagues. He is the best player we've seen come into the NBA in years. It was obvious that he was the number one pick at the time, but even I didn't think he'd be this good at this point. I thought there's a chance he could get there, but not after year two. He is the best player we've seen come into the NBA since LeBron, probably. That's how good he is. He is unbelievable. Next up is Porzingis.
Porzingis.
The 30th ranked player in his first year back from an ACL, under 32 minutes, 20 and 9, or 20 and 10 actually, 2.5 threes, 2 blocks. The 43% shooting is what really lets him down, and it's mainly because he doesn't hit his twos very well because he's got absolutely zero post game. He hit 35% from three. That can improve. So he's got improvement here. He can play 33 to 34 minutes. He can average 24 points with 10 boards, three threes, two blocks, shoot 46 and 80. He can do all these things. We saw it in the bubble. He averaged 30 and 10, 2.7 triples, and shot 48 and 89 on 9 attempts. And that's a massive thing. 9 attempts in the regular season in the bubble, 5 attempts in the rest of the regular season. That is a really big difference to do that, especially at 80%. You get 9 attempts, and then he jumps into that top 20, top 15 really comfortably. I already said he's the 4th ranked player in the bubble. He had the injury in the playoffs, and that's going to be something that's a concern for him continually. I don't think it's going to hamper his beginning to next season, but there's going to be caution, and he's going to suffer lower body injuries through his career. I don't think we can discount that. PIPM was huge as well, 3.83, 2.4 Raptor, 27 usage, that can go up as well because I think they found out how to make it work alongside Porzingis. In terms of the peak numbers for Porzingis, he is how old? He's 25. There's a real chance that this year, or 2020, 2021 is his best year, or even the year after. So it could be start to become a decline for him. That's why maybe I was a little bit hesitant with that Dynasty ADP because he is 25. That's not old, but given his injury history, the next couple of years could be his best, and then we see him fall off to become a 40s, 50s sort of player after that. I think there is a real chance that that's something that happens here for the old KP. Next up, Tim Hardaway. Now, when I talk to Mavericks people at the beginning of the season, I don't think Hardaway is going to be in the rotation. They're going to run Luka. They'll run Jalen Brunson. There'll be DeLon Wright in the mix. And Hardaway probably going to be the odd man out. That was the general consensus because he wasn't good the season before. Came across, was way out of favor. But to credit Tim Hardaway, he was amazingly good this year. He played 30 minutes a night. He averaged 16 points with three threes. He was the 147th ranked fantasy player. He shot 82 from the line. Now, defensively, the numbers aren't great, but a 40% three-point shooter. He was super impressive out there. A positive 0.59 PIPM, a plus one Raptor, 58 true shooting. Really, really strong stuff. As I said, he's about to turn 29, and he has a $19 million player option, which he'll undoubtedly pick up. But I think we should expect numbers that are relatively similar for Hardaway again. In the bubble, played 35 minutes, 15 points. He didn't shoot the ball quite as well, just 33% from three. But great shooting from the line. This is what he is. He's going to be a 15-point-per-game guy. He's going to bang in threes. He's going to do very little else. And it's going to be an okay player to look at as a streaming option for threes, to get some points in as a late-round pick. Can he get better than this? I wouldn't be really expecting too much better than this from Hardaway. But one of the great to turnaround stories in the NBA, considering where the hell his career was headed. He's been wild. Like, he was shit in New York, really resurrected in Atlanta, shit in New York. Oh, maybe there's a pattern there. And then good in Dallas. Maybe it's the fact that you're in New York and you're shit. Maybe that's just what goes on. With a lot of these players, I would not be surprised. Next up, Will Cauley-Stein. We just didn't really see him do anything in Dallas at all. Came across in that trade, which was really just a salary sort of dump. Just didn't go to the bubble at all. Let's look at what he did, body of work for the season, because 152nd ranked player in 20 minutes is actually pretty impressive. How was he able to do that? Well, he blocked shots, won a game, and 0.9 steals per game in 20 minutes, which is strong. And this is a guy who, in multiple seasons as a starter, playing 30 minutes a night for the Kings, couldn't even block a shot per game. So he was able to get that block rate right up there. He was also at 58% from the field, which is strong. Now, he's a terrible free throw shooter. He's an okay rebounder, but he doesn't do really too much else. So much of what Cauley-Stein's value is going to be is what he does in terms of that block rate. He's got a $2.3 million player option. I don't think teams will be fighting over him in free agency, so maybe he picks that up and maybe he can work his way into the rotation. But they just didn't want to use him in the regular season. Even when Porzingis was out, he might start a game and then he was back out again. So they'd have Kleber getting those minutes. But with Powell injured, there is some potential there for Cauley-Stein, but I don't really expect him to be knocking on the door of the top 150 and getting 20 minutes a night as he did last season. That block rate is the real anomaly. Or is it the anomaly? Or was it the fact that the Kings are a weird team and he wasn't engaged there because he had a really strong defensive profile coming out of Kentucky? Which one is it for Cauley-Stein? He's only 27, so he's got maybe a couple of years of growth to come. He was a positive in Raptor and PIPM this year with a 59 true shooting. So some decent numbers there for Willie. I'm not completely writing him off. I don't think he'll ever be a top 100 player or a guy that you want to rely upon to become a starting center. But I thought he showed flashes enough. And if that rim protection and the blocking, shot blocking continues at the level it was this year versus what it was in the first 4 years of his career, then it is at least something that is marginally interesting to look at. That's what I'm trying to say. Maxi Kleber. 155th ranked player. I think Kleber was a little bit of a letdown this year. 29 years of age. He averaged 26 minutes, 9-5 with 1.6 threes and 1.1 blocks. We know what Kleber is. He's a player that blocks shots and does it in bunches and hits threes. He doesn't do too much else. He generally is a pretty impactful player, but his actual impact numbers were down this year. Negative in Raptor, negative in PIPM. 61 true shooting is strong. He 37% from three, 61% from two. Really efficient player. Generally a really good defender. Was overstretched at times this season. Yeah, best case scenario, he can maybe be a top 100 fantasy player. But, you know, we're talking about a guy who's right in the middle of his peak. And it's probably going to drop off. And yeah, Dallas is probably not going to push him to 30 minutes. What they do here, what Cauley-Stein does with his player option, what Powell's recovery is like, it might mean that we're getting quite a bit of Kleber throughout next season. In the bubble, his minutes actually went down, 24 minutes in the bubble regular season. And that was a struggle. But then in the playoffs against the Clippers, he played 34 minutes. And now he struggled immensely, shooting just 33%. But they used him quite a bit there. So that's at least something to pay some attention to, is how much they used him there. If he was a 30-minute a night player, which I'm not expecting him to be, then he probably does push into the top 120 and becomes a back-end fantasy standard league sort of a player. He's definitely not someone that really fits the ethos of a points league, definitely. Next up is Seth Curry, 30 years of age, 166th ranked player. We know what Seth Curry is. He bangs in threes and he bangs them in well. 45% three-point shooter, 2 threes a game, 12 points, absolutely nothing else but hyper-efficient. 50% from the field, 83% from the line, a strong true shooting of 64% on 18 usage, positive Raptor, marginal negative PIPM, but he is an older player. And the decline is going to start to come. He'll still hit threes, but this could he turn into a JJ Redick type player? I don't think he's ever going to get the minutes that Redick's gotten over the last couple of years, but he is a super strong piece for this team who provides really good numbers. He wasn't quite as efficient in the bubble, but against the Clippers, 29 minutes, 13 points, 59% shooting. This is what he does. He bangs in threes. He's useful at that, and no reason to think it's really going to stop at any point coming up. Dorian Finney-Smith. Loved what Finney-Smith did as a contributor on the court. 167th rank in fantasy, plus 1.61 PIPM, a 60 true shooting on 13 usage. So that's your role. Be efficient, don't use up possessions, and defend your ass off. And that's exactly what he did. 1.61 PIPM is a really strong number from Finney Smith. He isn't particularly young. He's 27. Over the course of the year, he averaged just 9.5 points with 6 rebounds. Any fantasy value he had came from the fact that he hit 1.63s. He's a good defender that doesn't put up defensive numbers. He's subpar in percentages. And I don't really see where he's going to be better than that. He did average 12 points a game in the regular season bubble and got his minutes up. And I think they will play him more minutes. He only played 29 in the regular season. He was up to 32 in that bubble. And I think they should be looking to get him 31, 32 a night, considering how good he is defensively. But that's just going to make him an emergency stream guy for most fantasy leagues. Nothing much more than that. Dwight Powell, as we said, tore his Achilles in January. And with the late season, maybe he does return at some point. But expecting him to be the same player will be a struggle. Massive 68 true shooting, 173rd ranked player. Big PIPM at 1.36. He always seems to do well in those advanced metrics. The worry there, of course, is what happens with his Achilles and his health from now on. He averaged 9-6 with 0.9 steals and 0.9 blocks. He's a good steals guy. He's a great field goal percentage player, 64%. That's how he's even able to get to this level. If he was healthy, you'd love to see him playing a little bit more with Porzingis and playing over Cauley Stein, but I think it's going to be a rough year, and he's 29 already. So it's probably going to put a little bit of a dampener in some of his long-term value, but I think he can come back and at least have a top 200 season as his career moves on. D'Lon Wright, 176 player. Now, I was wrong on D'Lon Wright this season, yeah, clearly. I thought that he could play a 29-minute a night role, be a top 100 player, average 12 points, 4.5 assists, 1.7 steals, really be a defensive ass kicker out there. And it just didn't happen. They tried to start him. He was terrible. The fit with Doncic didn't work at all. He was pushed into a significantly smaller role, only 21 minutes and 7 points. Still had 3.3 assists, still had 1.2 steals, still shot 37% from three. And the fact that he was so bad and was 176th ranked player gives me hope that if he is moved, and he's used as a salary dump, he's got 2 years left. I think it's 12 million or so on his contract per year. So there's enough there that if he finds the right team, that he will succeed. I still believe in D'Lon Wright that he can be a good player. And even his like PIPM, negative 0.73 and Raptor plus 0.8, they're pretty strong for a guy that really struggled in that fit. It's a real buy low type scenario long term, but I wouldn't rule out D'Lon Wright being an option to be a top 100 player at some point in the next 2 years. It's not most likely going to be on this team, would be my guess. Next guy up, Jalen Brunson, the burner. I really like Jalen Brunson. Didn't play in the bubble with the shoulder injury. 284th ranked player, a negative 0.03 PIPM and a plus 2.2 Raptor. The Mavericks love this guy. They really, really like him. And I think what ideally they will want is to pair him with Luka Doncic long term. He averaged 8 points in 18 minutes with 3 assists, 47 and 81, shooting 36% from 3. This guy can peak at a 40-41% 3-point shooter, average 6 assists, average 12 points in 26-27 minutes. So that is back-end 12-team valuable. He wasn't there this year. The shoulder injury is a little bit of a worry. He's 24, so he's not super young, but I really do believe that he can become quite an impactful player in the next 2 to 3 years and probably be someone that you do draft at the back-end of fantasy drafts. And maybe he's someone that you even consider if they trade him that he could really push into the top 80. I really like Jalen Brunson as he moves forward. I think there's a lot of long-term upside in him. It's not super high, it's on top 50, but I think that he can be a useful player in the right position. Trey Burke. Trey Burke's overall season numbers, they're not that spectacular. 33 games, 16 minutes, 308th ranked player, 7 points, half a steal, 2.5 assists. That doesn't tell the story because in the bubble, in the regular season bubble, he signed with the Mavericks as an injury replacement. I believe he signed to replace Jalen Brunson. Played 24 minutes, averaged 12 points with 4 assists, shot 43% from 3 and 91 from the line. That's great. He was a 99th ranked bubble player. In the playoffs, he played 26 minutes, had 12 points with 51% shooting. The improvement in Trey Burke's shooting, I was skeptical of it when it happened 2 years ago with the Knicks where he's making every single two-pointer in the world. But this has carried over for a couple of years now where he becomes really efficient. So it's hard to doubt it. Defensively, I think he competed okay. He's not the best defensive player. His Raptor was super strong, plus 2.1 and negative 0.45 PIPM. Where the hell he fits is anyone's guess, though. He's an unrestricted free agent. He was really, really strong there. Does he, you know, do they bring back JJ Barea for one more year? Does Burke slide in there? Then you've got Hardaway, you've got Curry, you've got Burke, you've got DeLon, you've got Barea. There's so many names in that mix. You've got Brunson. How do all these players get minutes? So if they really like Trey Burke and bring him back, that does mean to me that then maybe DeLon Wright is gone and they do trade him away. There's just too many names there. Trey Burke is 28 as well. Hyper impressive. I don't trust it long term. I don't think he's a 28-minute-a-night player who is a starter who's going to change your team's fortunes around. But he was unbelievable in that bubble, and you've got to give him credit for that. And I am giving him credit for that. I'm just also not expecting it to be something that necessarily continues on for seasons to come. Juan José Barea, 315th ranked player this last year, negative 0.16 PIPM, plus 0.5 Raptor, 51 true shooting. He's a Mavericks legend, we know that. His level of on-court play is declining, as you would expect at age 36. He averaged 8 and 4, but what he is when he plays 20 minutes, he will get you 6-7 assists. And that is valuable as a fantasy streamer. And I don't really think that ability from Barea is going away. He shot 38% from three, pretty solid there. Not a complete disaster when he was on the court. His advanced numbers are okay. But he's an unrestricted free agent. Does he retire? Does he come back? I think there's a real chance that he retires here or plays one more year and he's sort of pushed out of the rotation. But just another one of those names in the mix there for those guard spots who can take minutes. But he's not going to be an every night rotation play, would be my guess. But when he plays, always watch his assist numbers. Courtney Lee. Didn't think he'd play at all this year, to be honest. Ended up with 24 games. Started games against Bradley Beal because he was the Bradley Beal stopper. The 319th ranked player. He played 14 minutes and 4.5 points with 0.8 steals. But it was unbelievably efficient. 45% three-point shooter. He's always been a really good three-point shooter. 49% overall. 63 true shooting. Yeah, marginal negative PIPM, but that's not terrible. 12% usage. Courtney Lee is also an unrestricted free agent. I highly doubt they bring him back. He's 35 years of age. Maybe he fits on another team, but he's not likely to be an every night rotation player. Boban Marjanovic. Guys, the Boban breakout's never going to happen. He's 32 years of age. He was the 324th ranked player. 0.93 PIPM, 3.4 Raptor, 61 true shooting. We know what Boban does. When he goes out there and plays 25 minutes, he puts up top 100 numbers. It's just never going to happen. He played 10 minutes a night. He averaged 7 and 5. He only blocked 0.2 shots, which is pretty poor. He was at 57 and 75 for his efficiency for a true shooting of 61%. That's all well and good. He got 14 minutes against the Clippers. He has similar things, 7 and 6. In the bubble, he played 12 minutes, 8 and 6. This is just what he is, a third-string center. While Dwight Powell is out, maybe he helps, and he can be a guy that plays 12 minutes a night as a rotation guy with Kleber around as well. But Boban is never going to be a player that gets 24 minutes a night. It just isn't going to happen because the teams are going to get cooked when he's on the court. And that's just what's always going to limit him outside of very specific matchups. And he's 32. Justin Jackson, the 405th ranked player, negative 2.45 PIPM, negative 3.4 Raptor, sub 50 true shooting. He is actually bad. He's not good at all. I don't have any faith for Justin Jackson to be an NBA caliber rotation player whatsoever. He played 65 games somehow in 16 minutes. Rick Carlisle likes him. I couldn't tell you why. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't get assists. He doesn't get steals. He doesn't get blocks. He doesn't shoot three-pointers. He's not a high-usage player. He doesn't get to the line. He does actually nothing good. I think he might be actually one of the worst players in the NBA. Shout out to Kevin Knox. He's in that class of players. He's 26 years of age already, Justin Jackson. I just don't think he's anywhere close to being good. And maybe that's being harsh on the young fella, but he just isn't good. And simple as that. Don't have any faith in him ever to be a top 250 player in the NBA. He's not good. I can't stress that enough. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, the 467th ranked player. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is 27 years of age. He is 1.5 years older than Justin Jackson, amazingly. I don't know how that's possible, but he is. He only played 25 games this year, 11 minutes, 2 points with 3 rebounds, still doesn't shoot well, doesn't get any defensive stats, despite being a good defender, doesn't pass. He is also an unrestricted free agent after being brought across from Cleveland. Nothing to really say too much about Kidd-Gilchrist. Will he even be on an NBA roster in a rotation? Most likely not, would be my guess. True shooting of just 41% for last season for MKG. Josh Reeves, two-way player for the Mavericks. Only played 4 games for 7 minutes a game. He was a guy that in summer league, I really liked what he did. I thought he looked super good out there. He's 23. In the G League, he averaged only 14 points. But what he is, he's like a shooting guard who can handle the ball a little bit, run a little bit of pick and roll type of stuff. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals in the G League. Not a good shooter, though. That's the problem. 33% from three. At least he took them. 70 out of 212 in the G League. We'd want to see a little bit more improvement from him there. But he's not a name to completely write off. But with so many guards on this team, it needs to clear out your Courtney Lees and Bereas and see where Burke goes and Brunson and Wright and Hardaway and Curry. There's so many guards here that he's a long way away. But he's not a name to completely rule out making a full-time roster. I just don't think it'll be on this team. And the last player we look at is their other two-way guy, Antonius Cleveland. He's not, I don't think he's really worth even being a two-way guy, to be honest. 512th ranked player. He played 11 games, 4 minutes, and averaged 1 point per game. In the G League, this is his third season in the G League. He averaged 14 points with under 30% three-point shooting and 7 rebounds. Defensive stats are okay. That's what he can be, like a Dorian Finney-Smith type of defensive player who actually generates defensive stats. But overall, his offense is just too far off to me to be any sort of interesting player. And I don't really think there's much in terms of Antonius Cleveland upside. I'd much rather, if you're looking at a real odd type candidate and you're guy to come from nowhere, it's probably Josh Reeves. But even then, that is going to be a struggle to get there. And guys, that's not a struggle because we're done. That's the week over. For Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Monday show again, we'll be looking at the Philadelphia 76ers. Don't forget to subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave your comments down below. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.